This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Weekdays 12 to 3 p.m. This is Power Lunch on Power 98.7.
Just in time to get to our top stories of the week. And this week, we're speaking to content creator Caitlin Rawson, discussing the hard news stories that have been making headlines over this week. You can call in as well on 0861-987-000. Caitlin, always wonderful talking to you. Thanks for making time. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks. And you? Thank you so much for having me.
Good, good, good. I mean, shall we start with the biggest stories of the day? Reports of Marcus Eustace's death. I'm looking at the news bulletins and the publications online here, and articles and pictures featuring blood on the rocks in Hermanus, where he allegedly shot himself. I mean, what can you tell us? Who was Marcus Eustace, and how do you think we got to this point of him taking his own life?
Yeah, so this is actually quite a wild story, and it goes back several years at this point, because Marcus Eustace has been under investigation for a while now, and he's been essentially accused of doctoring financial reports and statements from the Steinheist company in order to essentially enrich himself and inflate Steinhoff International Holdings. And he had apparently been doing this for, allegedly been doing this for years and years, and eventually he was caught on to, and I think it was PwC that initially picked up in one of the audits that there were some irregularities there, and that was, I believe, in 2017, and he's been under investigation both nationally and internationally by various different agencies since then. The entire time he maintained his innocence. He said that he had nothing to do with any doctoring of any financial statements, or said he was not engaged in any fraud at all. But I believe it was on Wednesday that he was informed by the Financial Sector Conduct Authority that he had to pay a fine of almost ₹500 million, and they were giving him 1 month to come up with that money and pay that money as a penalty for the fraud and corruption fraud that he was engaged in. And it was the day after that, yesterday, Thursday afternoon, that there were then reports that he had shot himself. It came pretty much as a direct result of that announcement that he was going to have to pay that ₹500 million.
You know, we spoke to an author of a book that covered much of the corporate crash and the corruption scandal. James Brent Stein was on the line with us, and he said he was quite taken aback by this because of Marcus Eustace's, you know, perceived laid backness around all of the issues. He even appeared in Parliament, and he was quite relaxed in how he answered the questions, not even allowing his lawyers to, you know, save him, as it were, in front of that parliamentary committee. And then to get to this point, I mean, his speculation was that perhaps Marcus Eustace had run out of money.
Yeah, I would believe that, because obviously he was given 1 month to come up with an extraordinary sum of money to pay this fine. And, you know, if he didn't have that available to him, was not going to be able to access those funds within that time, maybe that is what pushed him to the brink and kind of really triggered this whole situation with him then committing suicide, allegedly, over it. But, yeah, it's a very fascinating case, like the whole history of it and how he was kind of conducting himself and being known as just this like fantastic businessman for so long, and meanwhile it was because he was allegedly engaged in all these fraudulent activities. And Showmax actually has a great documentary on the whole case. I think it's like a three-part series that goes into how this was all uncovered and what all the allegations against him are. So it's a really fascinating, really sad story. I know a lot of people ended up losing like retirement annuities and their pensions and stuff like that because of what Marcus Eustace was doing. So it's very obviously and has now ended in a very tragic way. But the whole situation is just fascinating.
I was about to say, the ones who are are happy from a business sense are Showmax, because I saw today that you know, that documentary is like the second most trending on their platform.
Behind I'm sure there's been a huge spike in their ratings.
I can just imagine. And then, of course, bringing it to Parliament Speaker Nosiviwe Mapisa-Nqakula and the arrest and some of the scandal around that.
Yeah, so this has also been a little bit of a quite a wild story and a lot of different kind of conflicting statements coming out about it, because it was initially reported, I believe, that she was going to hand herself over for arrest today because of she's accused of being of taking bribes while she was the Minister of Defence, and that she was, there were kind of allegations and reports coming out that she was going to hand herself over to police. But that actually did not happen. Her house was raided on Tuesday in relation to claims that she had been soliciting bribes between 2017 and 2019. And then after that, the DA obviously started calling on her for to be removed. They have now filed a motion of no confidence in her. She's taken special leave from her position as Speaker of Parliament. I believe that happened yesterday, that she announced that she was going on special leave, and she said that was to protect the integrity of Parliament and the position of Speaker. She was supposed to be going on an international trip on Saturday, and she's cancelled that. But she's also come out and said that she was not planning to hand herself over to the police on Friday. She has every intention of proving her innocence, clearing her name, restoring her reputation. And she's actually saying that the way that SAPS and the National Prosecuting Authority have been conducting itself and carrying out their functions, she's not very happy with that and not very impressed with that. She says there's been abnormalities and irregularities, including the allegations that she had agreed to present herself to police today. And she's saying that there's an abusive process that's going on in this case. And she's now filed, I believe she's filed an application to prevent this possible arrest that she's now facing. So a lot of kind of conflicting information. Obviously, we've got the initial accusations of the bribery and the corruption. We've got now the investigations from the NPA and the prosecuting authority, then these reports that she was going to be arrested, and now she's coming out and saying, no, I'm innocent, I'm maintaining my innocence, and there's an abuse of powers going on here. So
Yeah, absolutely. And many arguing she herself is abusing powers, wanting to see the dockets and, you know, do things that regular citizens perhaps cannot do. Finally, I said, you know, only partially joking earlier on, Caitlin, that, you know, be careful about getting famous, because every single thing Trevor Noah says is now analyzed and discussed. And so he's had an opinion about the USA TikTok ban, which we've talked about here on the show quite a bit. What's your view on Trevor's thoughts?
I think it definitely has come as a little bit of a shock to everyone, because I don't think it was a perspective people were expecting from him. I think in the past, Trevor Noah has been more kind of open to actually being critical of the US and critical of these behaviors. And we've seen a lot of people have been very critical about this this potential ban that's going to happen with TikTok, and pointing to the fact that it's not necessarily the most fair thing, and that could be considered a restriction on freedom of speech and a form of censorship in a way. And I think people were expecting Trevor Noah, from the statements that he's made in the past on other issues, to be in line with that view of being critical of the US. So I think it came as a big shock to people when he was like, well, actually he supports what the US is doing with this TikTok ban. And I think especially because Trevor Noah has always been very much in touch with the more of the youth and young people's perspectives and opinions. And obviously TikTok's main demographic is much, much younger. And so you have a lot of younger people who are very opposed to the idea of TikTok being banned, and then Trevor Noah coming out and speaking that in that opposite perspective. I think that really shocked a lot of people. I must say that I personally very much disagree with the TikTok ban, and then potentially being forced to sell to a US company. I think if you compare TikTok, even if there are concerns about data privacy and that sort of thing, and potential foreign manipulation. If you just compare it to any of the other social media platforms, I mean, we've had the whole scandal with Meta and Facebook, yes, and the data that they were selling. Like, this is not something that's unique to TikTok, but it seems like TikTok is being almost unfairly targeted and singled out just because there is a Chinese ownership in the parent company of ByteDance. So yeah, I think it's just people were shocked with Trevor Noah not necessarily going with the perspective they thought he would.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we have to leave it there for today, Caitlin. What's your next piece of content going to be about, and how do we follow you on TikTok?
So you can follow me on TikTok at @ByCaitlinRawson. And at the moment, we are in the middle of the election series, build up to the election. So we're talking all about different political parties, reviewing their manifestos, going through what they are claiming ahead of the election. So very much focused on that, but also with a sprinkling of the news and current events in there as well.
Fantastic. Always lovely chatting to you on air. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much. You too.
Caitlin Rawson there, our content creator from TikTok. Go follow her. She has some very, very good in-depth discussions and analyses of what's going on. And as she says, in the lead up to the elections, always good to get as many views and opinions as possible to help us make those crucial decisions on the 29th of May.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.